This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we welcome you to the 70th episode of New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at NewWorldNextWeek.com with thanks to ParadigmShift.tv. So, James, needless to say, there is so very much going on in the world, it almost makes my head spin. So there's a lot to go over on this episode, and we will get right to it. U.S. secretly backing Syrian opposition since 2006. Fears of Syrian reprisals after WikiLeaks disclosure. This from Reuters. The U.S. State Department has secretly funded Syrian opposition groups according to diplomatic cables released by WikiLeaks, the Washington Post reported on Monday, April 18th. The cables show that the State Department has funneled as much as $6 million since 2006 to a group of Syrian exiles to operate a London-based satellite channel, Barada TV, and finance activities inside Syria. Barada TV, that's B-A-R-A-D-A, began broadcasting in April 2009, but has ramped up operations to cover the mass protests in Syria that began last month as part of a long-standing campaign to overthrow President Bashar al-Assad. The U.S. money for Syrian opposition figures began flowing under President George W. Bush after political ties with Damascus were frozen in 2005. The financial backing has continued under President Barack Obama, even as his administration sought to rebuild relations with Assad. In January, the White House posted an ambassador to Damascus for the first time in 6 years. The article said it's unclear whether the United States was still funding Syrian opposition groups, but the cables indicate money was set aside at least through September 2010. An uprising against Assad's authoritarian rule has spread across large parts of the country. Rights groups put the death toll at more than 200 people. Syrian authorities blame the violence on armed gangs. The previously undisclosed cables show that U.S. embassy officials in Damascus became worried in 2009 when they learned that Syrian intelligence agents were raising questions about U.S. programs. An April 2009 cable signed by the top-ranking U.S. diplomat in Damascus at the time read, Syrian authorities would undoubtedly view any U.S. funds going to illegal political groups as tantamount to supporting regime change. A reassessment of current U.S.-sponsored programs that support anti-factions both inside and outside Syria may prove productive, the cable said. The Washington Post said the State Department declined to comment on the authenticity of the cables or answer questions about its funding of Barada TV. James?
Well, here we go. Yet another WikiLeaks release that tells us something that people who have been watching the region have known for a while. But there it is. It's in plain black and white, and it's not really surprising again for anyone who knows how the CIA operates or how the U.S. government has operated not only in that region but throughout the world for at least the last half century. And for some more details on that, I would suggest people go back to my Last Word on Terrorism video, where I talk about some of the historical examples of the U.S. government funding the opposition groups in various countries in order to overthrow the dictators, the democratically elected dictators in a lot of cases. But in this case, maybe Assad really is a dictator. But still, the point is that the destabilization that's taking place in the Middle East right now is clearly being funded and fostered by the U.S. And people have to ask themselves what's really going on here. And I'm positing that there is a much larger geostrategic, the great game is what it's usually referred to, that's going on here right now that involves attempting to destabilize these regimes in order to eventually get Iran isolated and then to eventually overthrow Ahmadinejad. And that's going to be a whole different kettle of fish, I think, than just these smaller states. But we'll see how this plays out at any rate. But for those people wondering at home how WikiLeaks can be a disinformation operation and still release true information, well, they might want to ponder how on a disinformation operation could work unless there are some real pieces of information that leak out. And generally, as I say, these are pieces of information that we've already known for some time that leak out from WikiLeaks. But that issue aside, it's extremely interesting to see how this is going to play out.
So, James, yes, the great game or the grand chessboard, as Brzezinski would call it. We do have a couple related geopolitical notes, and we will note that a couple of weeks ago you were on Russia Today discussing the Syrian situation. And you were also on, yet again, recently discussing the Libyan situation, and those are our two updates From The Guardian on the Libyan conflict, EU awaits UN approval for deployment of ground troops. European member states poised to send 1,000 soldiers to besieged rebel city of Misrata to assist relief effort. And from The Telegraph, Libya, the thin end of the wedge, the military liaison team sent to Benghazi will not be involved in military operations, but for how long? Now, James, as we'll quickly move to our second story, and it's quite the whiplash change of subjects in a way, although we will see that media and memes kind of weave throughout this episode. This is something that I'm fairly excited about. There's a new documentary coming out from Morgan Spurlock, who you may know as the director of Super Size Me. There was a television show called 30 Days, and he also even had a film called Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden that not too many folks saw. He is from essentially the same town as I am in southern West Virginia, so I find quite a bit of pride in someone like this. Now, of course, it's no big stretch to have maybe actors or country stars that are from West Virginia, like Jennifer Garner or Brad Paisley, but for it to be someone who's from where I'm from and whose art I admire. So his new movie coming out is called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold, and it's a movie about advertising and product placement, funded entirely using product placement and advertising, and even the official title of the documentary is called Palm Wonderful Presents The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. And I have a posting on this on MediaMonarchy.com, and the film opens this Friday, the 22nd, here in the States. And it's essentially laying bare the complete corporatism and complete infiltration of all things advertising and corporate media. And yes, it's gimmicky, but I think in a way it hopefully lays bare the gimmicks that are surrounding us. They jokingly refer to it as the Iron Man of documentaries. Recent Iron Man sequel had some 65 product placements in 120 or so minutes. So James, I just wanted to mention this and throw this out. And again, just to note that I'm kind of excited about it, and I will cover it in greater detail on this week's upcoming episode 215 from Media Monarchy. Do you have anything to add on this before we go to story three?
So it's safe to say you're a Spurlock fan?
It is. And again, I'm not trying to say that, oh my God, he's the greatest. But I think in the sort of post-Michael Moore world, I admire the work that he does.
It is entertaining, and I saw Super Size Me, and it was a good movie. But I don't think I really need a documentary to tell me that McDonald's is not good for you, and I probably don't need one to tell me that product placement is a big phenomenon. But I think it's important for people to take a look at another phenomenon that was released in April of 2010, when it came out that NBC Universal was using behavior placement, where they were putting behaviors that they wanted to see people copy into their programs, which, again, we've known has been going on for a long time, but it was interesting to see NBC Universal really admitting that last year. But
and I've noticed, you know, Fox putting in environmental messages, even in The Simpsons, and even kind of relating to our first story of funding of Syrian anti-media outlets. We've seen that here in the States as well, as you know, black ops and psyops being posted inside media organizations. But James, let's move to our third story from the Washington Post, Google shuttering Google Video. If you happen to still have anything up on Google Video that you want to keep, you better move quickly. The clock is ticking. After April 29th, the site will stop hosting videos, and after May 13th, the content will be gone forever. The company has added a download button to videos to let people save the content they want from the site. Users are being encouraged to repost their videos to YouTube, which Google bought in 2006. Google Video has had a long, drawn-out death. The site stopped allowing uploads in 2009, but still hosts millions of videos. When it comes to video, YouTube is clearly Google's priority. The video site has recently gone on an acquisition tear of its own, gathering companies focused on improving video quality and producing original content. YouTube also launched a live channel to showcase streaming content earlier this month. The first report about Google's decision to close the site came from Center Networks, but a group called Archive Team, which describes itself as a loose collective of rogue archivists, programmers, writers, and loudmouths, is trying to save all of Google Video's content, particularly the longer videos that just won't fit within YouTube's 15-minute time limit. The group has been allocated 100 terabytes of space for the videos on archive.org. Archive Team was also a huge part of the effort to save the content from GeoCities, one of the most popular web hosting sites from the 90s, which Yahoo closed in 2009. So were you still using Google Video, or had you forgotten all about it? James, as I throw it back to you, I'll mention that I had kind of forgotten about it since they killed my account back in July 2007 due to apparently one too many infractions. So unfortunately, I can't even go in and get those videos that have now been listed as rejected, rejected, rejected. James?
That is unfortunate, but I certainly had not forgotten about Google Video. In fact, I frequently consult it for when I'm doing research for my podcast because of the longer documentary that fit in one easy to find file on Google Video. I've often gone back there, and I'm putting out the activist alert on this one. It is good to hear that there is an archive team that's hopefully going to be saving a lot of the content from Google Video, but there are still a lot of obscure documentaries or obscure interviews that haven't been uploaded to YouTube that are on Google Video, and I would like to call on the listeners and viewers out there to think about, or to, if you know of any documentaries or interviews that particularly need saving, please make a comment, put it in the comments section, and hopefully other people will see that and be able to save that record, because this is valuable information. There's a lot of really obscure things that are up on Google Video right now, and it's about to be gone forever, and hopefully it'll be archived by someone, but we can't just assume that it will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have no idea exactly what types of things maybe the archive team may be going for. I don't know if they're casting a wide net or if they're going for things that think, oh, this might be popular. So, James, fortunately, we do still have a few minutes left because there are so many other things, and we'll tie in a few sort of related bonus updates. Oh, as I come to you here, it just started one mere minute ago. Barry Satoro is doing his Facebook town hall, so you can hop on there and maybe ask him about taxes or ask him about the ICE shutting down gambling websites or any of those things that, of course, they'll completely ignore. A couple other related notes. iPhone keeps record of everywhere you go, and cops in Michigan? Yes. Cops use mobile scanner to steal cell phone data from innocent Americans. Michigan State Police slapped ACLU with $500,000 demand for information relating to Fourth Amendment busting program. James, do you have a couple comments on those?
So Facebook tracking everything you do, and iPhone tracking everywhere you go, and the cops tracking everything that you've done on your cell phone. Yeah, sounds about right in the fascist police state that we're living in.
Fortunately, when I saw that, I guess I saw that iPhone article, I was like, oh God. But then I remembered my iPhone is a jailbroken device and it will not take any updates. So I'm not really being tracked because it has no SIM card anyway. The few other things I want to tie in, because of course, as I sometimes, James, feel compelled to mention that sometimes when we don't cover stories, I worry that folks are going, God, don't you know about this or that, or why aren't you covering this? Too many things, and again, we like to stick to our set format here of three stories in under 15 minutes. But yes, we are in the Ides of April, and there are any number of horrible anniversaries right now, such as the BP Gulf oil spill, or the Virginia Tech massacre, or the Oklahoma City bombing, or Waco, or Columbine, or Patriots Day, or Hitler's birthday, or James?
I think that covers a pretty good spectrum, yeah.
So those are the things that I will probably be focused on my upcoming episode of the podcast. So thanks so much.
All right, looking forward to it. Thank you again.
All right, take care.